السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Anybody got any?
It depends on correspondence, Sheikh. What is considered good correspondence? How often? What can be some advices?
Question is that when a person has entered into some islahi taluk, islahi relationship with a sheikh, then how often should his correspondence be? So obviously it would vary from person to person. Some person who's got many illnesses, he has to go to the doctor sometime two times in one day. Another person who's healthy, so he doesn't have to go so often, but every now and again he just goes for a checkup just to make sure he's okay. So with regards to islahi taluk, at least once a month, if a person has got nothing else to correspond, at least once a month he makes contact with his sheikh and just gives him a rundown that alhamdulillah, everything is fine so far, and my namazes are in order, ma'amulat is in order, everything is going well, make dua. Right? So he maintains some nisbat, some taluk. Otherwise, person is gone like nasiyam mansiya, you don't hear of him, you don't see him, you don't know nothing what's going on in his life. So at least once a month, if there are no issues, no challenges, then at least once a month, he should send an email or make a call. The second thing is, when the person has got an issue, now whether it is an islahi matter, within himself, he's finding that all of a sudden he's getting very angry, or somebody came and opened similar type of business down the road and now he's feeling some enmity and hasad towards that person, or he had some family dispute and now he's not talking to his brother, right? So whatever islahi issue it may be, the person should correspond immediately. When it comes to that type of correspondence, the murid must not waste time. Same time, he must correspond. Now, many a time, shaitan puts him into dhoka. Shaitan tells him that, see, you know what to do in this situation. There's no need for you to correspond. You know what to do. Just sort it out now and carry on. So that is dhoka from shaitan. As soon as the person feels he's got an issue, he must correspond. The other thing that murids take very lightly is their decisions in life. Right. Sometime a murid feels that that's got nothing to do with Islam. I'm buying a new car, I'm buying another property, I'm opening another business, I'm doing something else. So that got nothing to do with Islam, so there's no need for me to correspond it. Right? This is also a mistake. We must correspond these issues as well, so that guidance is received. Sometime a person is overdoing it. Sometime the sheikh would advise him not to go into another business. Don't do so right now. Don't leave this job or leave this job, whatever. Now the sheikh will advise him keeping his islah in mind, not his dunya in mind. Sheikh will advise him keeping his akhirat and his islah in mind. So that type of correspondence, as and when the need arises, the person should correspond. The other thing is mode of correspondence. Now each sheikh will have his preference. Right? With us, we prefer emails. You send an email and you will get your jawab, inshallah ta'ala. We try within 2 days, maximum 3 days, unless obviously there is some out of town or out of the country on safar or something. But even when we are on safar within the country, then too we try to make sure that the correspondence is seen to. Sometime we are out of the country, then at times we don't even have internet access, right? So then we don't ready. And especially if it's a umrah or something, then sometime you have no time now to sit with correspondence every day. You have to make some ibadat also. But other than that, we try to respond within 3 days maximum. So that is the preferred method of correspondence. If there is an emergency, person needs to find out something right now, then he should phone. He should make a phone call. If the call can be taken, it will be taken. If the call cannot be taken, it will be returned. Or you can try again a little later on. Right? Now sometimes every murid wants a personal meeting. But that's not possible all the time. Right? Now a murid will choose the time for a personal meeting that is convenient to him. Right? May not be convenient for the sheikh at that time. So now what happens in this murid's mind, he got it that no, I want these 4 or 5 issues to discuss. So, Saturday I'll see him on a Zohar time in the masjid. I'll ask him if he can see me. Right? Now that may not be convenient to the sheikh to see him that time. So the sheikh will tell him that, you know what, hey, you know what, I'm tied up. I can't see you right now. So now what happens? That 5 points will get left for 1 month. Because when is he going to come back to Pietermaritzburg? Right? When is he going to get an opportunity again? So that 5 points now became 10 points. And he's still waiting for that meeting to materialize. And in the meantime, whole kachumbar is taking place in his life. Everything is going upside down because he's not corresponding. Whereas, if he takes the time out, he sits down, he composes an email, and he sends it within 2-3 days, he'll get his jawab, qissa khatam. The story is over. Now, with correspondence, whether it is letters, whether it is emails, sometimes in an hour and a half, the sheikh may be able to answer 20 emails, 30 emails, depending on the length of the emails. But if he has to sit with each person, so it's not, it doesn't even make logical sense to spend that time with each person now discussing Islamic matters. Whereas the murid can take his time out, right, write it down, it will take him a few minutes to compose his email, and then he sends it. And then the sheikh will sit when he's got free time and he will respond to all the emails. Right? The other thing is, when writing an email, I mentioned this before, that there is no need to write long stories. You write your query, finish. What your query is, you write your query. You get an answer, sometimes it's 2 words, sometimes it's 3 words, sometimes it's 1 sentence, sometimes it's 1 paragraph. Take your answer and move. Now, the murid sometime, he got his preconceived thing in his mind. So he feels, no, I'm going to give a whole background now, otherwise the sheikh is not going to understand this thing. Certain times some background is required, then the sheikh will contact the murid and say, but you know what? What happened here? What happened there? Right. Other than that, you write the issue and get your answer. So that is with regards to writing, with regards to emails, etc. The other thing is that sometimes you need to sit with the sheikh. Right? You need some meeting or whatever. So when the sheikh affords you time, get to your point. Many people now, what is the point? What is the question? What do you want to know? Now the person will start you know, but sometimes it happens like this, and sometimes like that. And you know, then he wants to give one example. No, that all is time consuming. So the very, very important thing in our life is to value time. You don't waste time. So whether it is in your Islahi correspondence also, you don't waste time. You get to the point. You get to the point, receive your jawab, receive your answer, and make amal upon it. If you've made amal upon it, and there's still a problem, send an email again. Made amal on that, you prescribe 10 days, do this. I've done it for that 10 days, I'm still finding this issue. Then you will get another prescription. You'll have to keep on giving a prescription till it comes right. So that is how a person should correspond, and that is how he should have some etiquette in his correspondence and in his meetings with his sheikh, etc. Email is a very, very nice way, and also you can have a record. You have a file, you put it into your file, you get your jobs, you can file it away nicely. And over and above that, it's fair, because when an email comes, then it's all in order. It's all in order. So everybody, whoever's email came first, they'll get their job first. You respond to it. Now some people send me WhatsApp messages. Now sometimes I'm driving, right? Or sometimes you're in the class, you just finished one period. A WhatsApp message comes, now you open it. Message came, you don't know what way it came from. And my WhatsApp, it states clearly. I don't know what some wording's there, but it states there that I'm not available. It's only for private use. So now you'll think a message came from home, family or something, they want to know something. So you check it up. Now when you open it, now it's some question. Right? So now you can't answer it at that time. You're either in the class or you're driving or whatever, so you can't answer it. So now you leave it and you think, okay, I'll get back to it later. But what happens? In the interim, another 10 WhatsApp messages will come. Now that WhatsApp message is opened, now it goes away down. Now you forget about that thing. So a lot of times an important question, but you forgot about answering. Because when you opened it at that time, you couldn't answer it at that time. But email is not like that. Emails are all there. Whether you opened it also, it still stays there. With the dates, the times, everything is there. You answer it, send it away, then delete, finish. Move on to the next one. So Islahi matters correspond via email. As I said, other mashayikh will have their preferences. So if somebody is bayat to another sheikh, he must find out from his sheikh, how would you like for me to correspond? And correspond in that manner. Some people will tell you, but Hazrat, me, I'm not a writing person. You know? So then become a writing person. Sort yourself out. You want Islah, then sort yourself out. Become a writing person. Now the person says, no, I'm not a writing person, and I'm not. Now imagine you go to the doctor, so he got a system there. So it must wait there in the room. So, but I'm not a waiting person. And after he gives some pills, say, my doc, I don't like, to take medication. You know. So, or I give you injection. He said, no, injection too is not my thing. So then he said, I take one tamacho and go. Go somewhere else and see. Get yourself sorted out. Any other question? Anybody got?
So speaking of tikaf, after Ramadan, where can we have the same solitude and other feelings? When can we get it like this?
I don't understand what you say.
In the itikaf, you get that enjoyment and connection, whatever, peace in solitude. What other time of the year we should practice on solitude and talk to Allah Ta'ala?
Every day, tahajjud time. The question is that in itikaf a person is in solitude, right? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us that our deen, there is no like how in the previous combs they used to go away in one cave and stay away and finish, you know, cut themselves off from the world. But that's not in our deen. In our deen, there are many things we have to do together, so we'd have to be with the people, we have to do things together. However, this itikaf has been stipulated where there is mental seclusion, you go into itikaf, and it's only prescribed one time in the year, the last 10 days of Ramadan is a sunnat itikaf. Nafal itikaf, a person can sit at any time, can sit for nafal itikaf. So the question is that now while in itikaf, a person feels that connection with Allah Pak, and you know, he feels some closeness to Allah Ta'ala, some nur generating in the heart. So when else can a person, which other parts of the year now can the person do something to get those feelings, etc. So you see, life is not about feelings. It's not about the enjoyable feelings. It's not about that. It's about getting ourselves in tune. That all the time we are thinking of Allah, and whatever I do, I mustn't break Allah's command, and I must do it according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, when you go to the, you're traveling on the highway, and then you stop at the petrol station. You stop at the petrol station. Now one is, your windscreen is dirty. A lot of moths and everything there on the windscreen. So they clean the windscreen. You know. So they clean the windscreen, then automatically the car feels nice. Right? Then they put petrol in the car, tank is full, feels nice. You know. They checked up, you know, oil is fine, feels nice. Then you walk into the shop, get yourself one juice or one ice cream or something, it feels nice. So now you come out of the garage, you say, but now, after every, how many kilometers I can get this feeling? The object is not to get that feeling. The object in life is not about that feeling. That feeling is just an encouragement along the way. The object in life is now what I have benefited here. I went and bought one energy drink, right, from the garage. I got some energy. Now I must be able to drive now. I mustn't break the law on the road. I mustn't knock anybody's car. I must follow the rules. That is the object. I went and filled up my tank, not to get a feeling, my tank got full. I mean, how can I keep my tank full now? No, but the tank will get empty too. You have to keep driving, but I need to reach my destination. The windscreen will get dirty again with the moths. Never mind. Now, after some period of time, then you'll go again. When you need another fuel up, you'll go. Next Ramadan will come. And the sit for itikaf, that type of feeling will be done in the last 10 days of itikaf, right? But the object is thereafter to remain focused, to maintain the taluk ma Allah. And every day we must take out time to be alone with Allah. And the best time to do that is tahajjud time. Person wakes up with tahajjud salah, and now he is in seclusion with his Allah again. So he gets that, you know, he just keeps the blade sharp, you know, the blade to cut the nafs and to cut the waswasa of shaitan. So he keeps it sharp. So every day tahajjud time, he makes his zikrullah, he reads tahajjud namaz, he makes dua to Allah Pak. So he spends those few moments in solitude, thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So then his taluk will remain. The taluk ma Allah will be there, it will remain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us that tawfiq that we can remain like that. We don't go into a ghaflat, you know. It's an important question that, look, now we came in itikaf, we got that, we feel we got that connection with Allah Pak and all that now. How do we maintain this thing? We're going to go out, go in the concrete jungle there. One day, we had sat with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali for I think it was itikaf. And then I left from there after Maghrib, I'm driving home, and I phoned Hazrat from the car. And I told him, I said, you know what, man? The day was different, and just coming out here, just getting onto the road, already you can feel it. So Hazrat said, yes, that's natural. That is going to happen. Right? The thing is that now whatever you've learned, you've got to apply it. You've got to be able to apply it. That motor car in the showroom is looking so, you know, beautiful, shining, boning, as they used to say. You know? Right? But of what use is it in the showroom? What use is it there in the showroom? You know, sometimes the farmers, when they see people driving 4x4s and, you know, this big, but only driving it in the city, they say, this fellow, what's he up to? What he bought this big 4x4 with these big, big tires, and he just made the thing look fancy, put some big bumpers and stickers on. But this thing is so clean, what is this? Now the farmer is driving that thing on that gravel roads every day, and now he said, oh, this looks like a 4x4. Now he says, tires are caked with mud, and, right? But it's doing its job. Now that's a 4x4. So in the showroom, the thing is looking pretty, very smart, everything. But of what use is it? Now when we come out, now we go home, and we can make sabr, have tolerance, have some system, put ourselves right, and then still make it early for salah, nakawani itikaf, we're coming away early for namaz. Now despite my commitments and everything outside, but I'm still there early for salah. Here, I was very mellowed, everything, because I had no responsibilities, so I could maintain my composure and everything. But now when I go out, now I got a disgruntled client, right? I got one taxi driver cut in front of me, right? At home, the wife, she said some pipe bust, right? Then the child came, his report is not looking too good, right? All these stories. But still, I must be able to maintain my composure. Then I've learnt. Then it's like that 4x4. You hit on pothole, this side one log, some mud came this side, everything. But that thing is still moving. Said, right, no, now this is a proper 4x4 by far. Otherwise, it kar you. This first pothole came, the tire came out. What can 4x4 this is? Any other question?
Often we are presented with tennis scores, not with our ladies, men, whatever. And this can be very disruptive at times. You know? What is the best way without being terrible to the person on the other side, cutting the call short?
See, what we must understand is that think of how desperate the person on the other side of the line is. Right? And make shukr to Allah Pak that Jalla ina put me in that situation. Because they're very persistent. Even if you tell them that, look, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not interested, sorry, or I'm busy. Any reason why you're not interested? Huh? They speak to that, right? Or just hear me out. You know, like, sometimes they'll phone, before you can say anything, they started already, per. Those people, bichara, they earn on commission, right? If they make the sale, they get a little bit commission. Now, it's a tough job, right? It's a difficult thing. And sometimes the person the whole day may go and you never do one sale too. So think of how desperate that person is on the other side of the line and make shukr to Allah, Pak, the Ya Allah, you never put me in that situation. I got food to eat at home. Right? So automatically now, we will feel compassion for that person, right? We feel, you know, like a concern for that person. But obviously, we don't want to listen to this whole story because we're not interested in this thing. Now, for example, the person sending you a cell phone contract, you already got three, what are you going to do with the fourth one? Right? And some people, their resolve is so weak that they mustn't listen. Because anybody just tell them something, oh, yeah. Oh, it's like that. Oh, all right, sign me up. Yeah. Sign. Right? So, you rather don't listen, you know? So, when the person phones, now you hear, you say, excuse me, sir, madam, what are you offering me? So, no. Oh, cell phone contract. I'm very sorry. I've already got a cell phone contract. Thank you so much for the call. Now, they won't just let you off the hook. Right? So, they will still talk. Say, look, don't want to be rude, but really I don't need this. Thank you. Have a nice day. I hope, you know, you have some better luck on your next call. You give them some dua or something and send them off. Right? But to be arrogant with them, that's not becoming of us. Right? You see, sometimes we don't realize the situation. You see, we know that one story of that person who came begging on while the family was eating. Family was eating and the person came begging, right? So the husband got very upset. The wife stood up to go see who's at the door and she saw it's a beggar. She came back and then she told her husband, you know, somebody asking, let me pack something. So he got upset. What? These people eating time too, they don't give us peace and all. Just surround here and tell him, go, we don't have anything for him, right? So he responded like that. So that beggar carried on his life. And this family, they carried on their life. But slowly what started happening, this man's business started going down. He was a wealthy man. Now his business started going down. Until it came to a situation where he lost his empire, right? And then he couldn't even afford to keep his family anymore. His wife, he couldn't afford to give her nafaka. He couldn't afford a home. So he sat down with her and told her, look, that I cannot afford to keep you anymore and I am releasing you from my nikah because I can't take care of the expenses, right? So he lost his wife also. And he became a pauper, he's begging on the street. So years later, a family is sitting to eat and there's a knock on the door. And this woman wakes up and she goes to the door. And she comes back and she says that, look, there is a beggar. And the husband says to her that, you know what, we've eaten and we don't really have to have this meal. We're eating now because eating time. We don't really have to have this meal. Don't know, that man must be having a wife, must be having kids, whatever. What you do is tie this whole thing up, right, and give it to him. So she did just that and she gave it to him. But when she came back, she was crying. So the husband said, like, you know, what's the problem? So she said that, you know, that beggar who came to the door is actually my ex-husband. I used to be married to him. He was a very wealthy person at some point in time in his life. And, you know, like, what happened was, a beggar had come to our door and this is how he treated that beggar. And at that time when he treated that beggar like that, I thought to myself also that, you know what, I hope this is not like, you know, the beginning of our end. And things just went from bad to worse. But he never put the connection of why he's deteriorating like that. But today, now he himself is going begging by people's doors. So this man broke down. And he told her that beggar who came to your door was me. Allah Ta'ala changed my day. That beggar that came to your door was me. So sometime, you know, we busy, we this, right? If your friend phoned at that time, right, who shares the same hobby as you or something, then even though you are busy and whatever, you still entertain his call. You'll entertain his call, you'll talk nicely. But because this is a nobody, nameless, faceless, right? It's a nobody. The person phone, now we're so arrogant with the person on the phone, right? So this, we shouldn't be arrogant. You tell the person nicely, look, I'm not interested. Now the person will be persistent. That's their desperation talking, right? The person needs to make the sale. So you go on telling the person, you know what, I don't want to be offensive to you, but look, I'm a bit tied up now, I'm a bit busy, and I don't really require this product that you're offering. But anyway, I hope you good luck, you know, for the rest of your day or whatever, and have a good weekend, have a nice day, and put your phone down nicely. But don't be arrogant towards them.
Ask my person just one small bit of advice. Normally when people phone, insurance people, I found a good answer is when asked why don't you want, I say my religion doesn't allow me, they put the phone down. Mark, you've been told that tonight is the night of rewards. What advice the Sia would you give in terms of what Ibadat we should concentrate on for how long, etc.?
For a Mu'takif, as much as now you are very, very spiritually charged up and everything, and now you know it's a night of rewards, so you want to engage in some ibadat, right? So holding your wife's hand to is ibadat. What you need to understand as a mu'takif is that you've been away from home, right? Your wife, your children, they are waiting for you to come back home. Right? They're waiting for you to come back home. Sometimes they may even have some problem that took place in these 10 days, but they respected your itikaf, they didn't bring it to your attention. And so now when he comes out, speak to him. Sometimes it may be an urgent thing, a pressing matter. Right? They need to speak to you before Eid day tomorrow. Some tamasha happened with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law or something. You know what I mean? Something happened. And they need to bring it to your attention, but they don't want to tell you. Maybe it's a business matter, whatever. They said, no, never mind, he's in itikaf now, he can't do anything about it. So, in Enochio, you know what I mean? Don't tell him, just let him enjoy his itikaf. But now she's waiting for you that, look, okay, you came, now the kids are all around you. You know, you're tired, you need to have a good shower, clean yourself up. Then you went masjid, then you're like a hero in your local masjid. You came from itikaf, everybody asked me for dua and all that. So Hazrat is going to come home late after Isha, right? And she's probably waiting to have a meal with you or whatever. She needs to discuss something with you. Now you come home and Begum Sahiba, tonight is a night of rewards and Lailatul Jaiz and all, you know what? I'm going back to the masjid. I'm going to be sitting in my musalla gade and I'll see you when I see you, you know? So this is an incorrect attitude. Right? We should go home, afford them that time. Go and read your Isha, after Isha namaz, maybe read a couple of extra rakats, nafal namaz or something. Make sure your night surahs are done, all of that. Right? And go home, spend time with the family. Right? In the Hanafi mazhab, for a person to spend time with his wife is even more virtuous than nafal salah. Right? So spending time with your wife is not going against ibadat or something. Right? So you spend the time. But if now, I mean, you've given her time, everything. Now maybe she's busy putting the biryani together, right? And she needs you out of her way for a while. So that time, take a Quran Sharif, sit down, make a little bit dua, whatever. When she's ready to go to bed with her. She's been sleeping alone last 10 nights. Now she wants the company of her husband, right? So give her, afford her that company, and then wake up early. For a mu'takif, he must rather reserve his ibadat time for the morning. Wake up early. Wake up early, get on to the musalla, read your tahajjud, you know, make some ibadat, zikr, dua at that time. A non-mu'takif, he was at home all the time, he was at home, right? So he can exert himself at night also, and he can wake up again at itikaf time. But a mu'takif, when he goes home now, must understand, your wife could have told you, you know what, I don't want you to go. She could have made it heavy, right? Through a tantrum and made it, right? But she sent you nicely. Now appreciate that, okay, she let me go 10 days, 10 nights, I was away. Now when I go home, give them some time also. They're looking forward to your arrival. So you give them that time, everything. And then you wake up in the morning, make your ibadat in the morning. Go away early for the Eid namaz and all of that. And that much is sufficient for a mu'takif to do. Fair work. Time is up, so we will leave it till here. If there's any other questions, you can always ask. Anything else? Allah Ta'ala accept. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.